Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware, still without my mum for the second instalment of Extra Helpings, some of our favourite bits from the last few series. We'll be back next week with series 10, but in the meantime, here are a few more little tasty morsels to keep you going. First up is the very hysterical, intelligent, beautiful, excellent BAFTA award-winning Aisling Bee, who came round for a fish supper at the beginning of the year. And trust mum to bring the conversation around to dogging and doggy style. She is so, so prudish, my mother.
Sorry, my daughter's being a cat.
Hello, little cat. Oh my God, you train your child to bring things in its mouth. Jessica.
Hello.
What's this? Can I have that?
Oh, you're a doggy.
Oh, you were a doggy.
It's obvious. It was a bone.
I will say you're going to have to work harder on your dog material. I'm not going to patronise her by saying that was a great performance of a dog because I read it
as a
cat.
Wasn't great.
It would be very unique if she decided to stay like that. If she identifies as a dog when she gets older. Yeah.
What would that be called?
Well, there is... Have you ever seen
this? Canine something or other.
Yeah.
Caninery? I don't know. Anyway.
There is a Channel 4 documentary called The Secret Life of Human Pups. And it's very fascinating.
Are they the children that were brought up by
wolves
or
dogs? No, but that's also a great one. This one is about a group of people around the world who like to live their lives as pups. And they identify as puppies. And they dress up in... quite sort of sexy, leathery clothes.
Oh, it's like a sex thing.
Well, that's the question which sort of hangs over us for the whole documentary, really. I felt really sorry for, like, they go to the international, like, best human dog convention. And there's this one guy who's representing Britain. And he's dressed up as a dog and he's his owner. And there's a little bit of sexual tension between the owner and him. And we kind of do wonder what goes on.
Well, they don't do dogging and things.
Well, we don't know.
Oh, my God.
It's just a little bit of the unanswered question.
But why is dogging called dogging, actually?
Because of the way dogs do it.
Oh, okay, fine.
I don't think that's
it.
I think it's... So here's my thoughts. Okay. We're definitely going to get emails in to us three poor ladies sitting around going, but what? It's dogging. Let's blue sky think it. I think dogging might be called dogging because maybe a lot of people pretend to go out to walk their dogs.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
But actually go and watch people in cars having sex. Now, the people in the cars know people are watching them, so are doing it for a performative
reason.
You're
kidding me.
Yes. And as a performer, may I take my hat off to any site-specific theatre. But then I also wonder, is it that you're sitting there watching almost like a dog? I wonder, is that an element that you're there kind of looking like?
Now, what did you think, mum?
I'd like,
but you know the way a dog would sit and watch you at the table eating and you just sort of like tongue out, like watching.
I thought it was mouthing them from behind.
Oh, wow. No, that's doggy style.
That is doing a doggy style.
Sorry.
And that is something I would definitely say I know about. The other one, I will say I'm not so sure about the etymology of dogging. Dear readers, please feel free to phone in.
Please don't.
And I'm so glad that my daughter walking in as a dog has turned into doggy style and dogging.
Yeah. Dogging,
an absolute.
Yes.
I can't believe it was like an improv session, wasn't it? It was like the first day at a new drama school and my daughter's being a cat and other people are talking about dogging. Anyway, from one excellently funny comedian to another, here is the brilliant Jo Brand on the worst heckle she has ever received.
As a comic, especially if you do those combative kind of arenas like the Comedy Store Late Show, which basically starts at 12 on a Friday night, it's full of blokes from the city who've been drinking since 5 o'clock.
And they're real hecklers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. So what are they going to say when someone like me steps on stage? So you kind of have to be ready for them, really. And so I just kind of built my comedy around going...
Do people heckle?
I don't give a... Oh, my God, yes.
So it's like Mrs. Maisel. Have you watched
Do you know,
Mrs. Maisel?
I haven't watched that, but I've heard it's brilliant.
It's fabulous.
Yeah,
it's wonderful. But people used to heckle her.
People
she's supposed to be
the most appalling things you could imagine.
I want
Why?
To hear.
All right. Well, what's the worst? One of the worst ones I've ever got. You won't ever be able to put this out, but
Why?
Never mind. Was a guy said to me, if you don't shut your mouth, I'm going to ram a table leg up your
Oh, my God.
What do you
Sorry,
do? You,
why would that be?
Do you acknowledge them or and make
oh
a joke
God,
of it?
Oh my God! Yes.
So
oh,
would
absolutely.
You say? Well, you it would have to be a table leg because your dick's clearly too small.
Oh, there we go. Yay. Oh, there we go. Oh,
I love
that.
I would
That's
love
what
to.
Mum says to road rage
would
drivers.
You?
I do.
Why don't you?
Oh no! I'm not a comedian, but I hate. I will have. One-liners with road rage people. I hate it.
Yeah, I
but
like
what?
A bit
how,
of road
how,
rage.
How did that work out for you when you
oh,
said
not
something
good.
To them, Mum?
We drove alongside someone who was eating his food in Brixton. They were going at 10 miles an hour. He was having his jerk chicken and rice, and then we were driving along, and I said, "Do we have to do 10 miles an hour when you have your dinner?" He said, "Do you want some?" And threw it in my face.
No.
Yeah. From his car, it's such a good aim. It was right down there.
Shut
well,
you
we
off.
Were driving through that way once. I was with my husband and this guy leaned over and said, "Oh, can I have your signature?" And my husband said to him, "We are driving, you know." And this guy went, "I'm going to fucking pop you, man." And
oh,
did
no.
like a gun sign at us.
Yeah. Give him the signature.
Weirdly, once I hit an old rover full of skinheads at the traffic lights in Brixton, and then they chased me around Streatham.
I know.
About half an hour, I was terrified.
Terrifying. Absolutely. No,
It was.
No, but you know the best thing to do if anyone chases you, you park outside a police station.
Okay. Oh, sorry, because you're really thinking about where's the local
I'm just
police
telling
station.
You now for advice.
Thank you, Mum, because you've been on so many.
Because I'm abuse.
Do you abuse
well,
motorists?
I take people on.
Well done. I
Why
think
should
that's
they?
Great. Don't
Men
you think
so
that's great? Really,
when
it's
you're
dangerous.
The passenger,
I know.
When you're the passenger,
I know.
It's really painful.
I know.
And you're pregnant. I think. Yeah. Please think about the baby.
The wrath of Lenny Ware has certainly got her into trouble a few times. We have been lucky enough to have two Spice Girls on Table Manners, the two Mels. Mel C was on recently and it was a joy to have her. She was our first guest back in the flesh post-lockdown. So check out Mel C if you fancy it, but also check out a previous episode of Mel B, who came around for a Sunday roast in 2018. She was really late, but we forgave her because she came in looking like Scary Spice, looking like a pop star and revealing that she has some rather unusual pets.
Do you grow your fresh herbs?
No.
Why do you have a little organic garden out there?
I don't know.
Should.
I
mean,
London, it fucking
pisses
tastes like
down with rain and it's horrible.
Yeah, but you can still get like a little cage thing for it.
Yeah, I could.
You should.
Do you have a herb garden?
No, I should do. No, because I have a goat. I have a fainting goat and she'd eat everything.
Why is it called a fainting goat? Does it faint a lot?
Mm-hmm. It's bred like that. So if it gets really excited or when you feed her... And I did this purely for that response because I look out into my garden and I laugh. Because if I go, Billy, she goes like this and then just keels over. And they're
kind
bred
of
like that.
That poor fucking goat got Scary Spice as its owner. Fuck yeah. How many times has it fainted?
At least 4 or 5 times a day.
But
it's
day.
The funniest thing you'll ever see.
What, if you've got low blood sugar or
no,
something?
They're bred like that. It's a certain breed of a goat. And I tie-dye her with vegan tie-dye. So she's got all the shackle colours all over her coat. Very funny. But they're very highly intelligent. I mean, they're seen as being quite a demonic animal to have. But they are the coolest breed to have in your back garden.
Do you get goat
really
milk
cool.
from it?
No.
I love the idea of tie-dyed goats wandering around Melby's garden. It's like she's still holding on to the 90s with both hands, gripping on, in fact. Up next is a Hollywood icon and music star, and another one of Mum's many crushes that we have on the podcast, Kiefer Sutherland, who regaled us with some brilliant anecdotes.
I want to know, where do you love to eat in Los Angeles?
There's a couple places in Los Angeles that are really quite extraordinary. There's an Italian, kind of cross French and Italian, called Il Piccolino on Robertson's, one of the nicest restaurants. And then I've always enjoyed Mr. Chow's in Los Angeles.
I've never been, but everyone talks
about. Have you been
to
the one here?
I have, yeah. Yeah.
Is it as good or different?
No, the menus are the same. Just the one in Los Angeles, I was roommates with Robert Downey Jr. when we were about 17, 18, almost 19. So
wow.
We
lived together. That would have been a powerful duo.
Did you have lots of fun?
We did.
Yeah.
We had a great time.
Yeah.
And we both started working around the same time. And he was dating Sarah Jessica Parker, so she lived with us as well.
Did he go out with Sarah Jessica
Parker? Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They lived together for a couple of years. And then Billy Zane was in the apartment next door.
Bloody hell.
Did he have hair? Did he have hair?
He did have hair. He did have hair. And so we were all friends, and we had a couple other friends. And Robert and I started to work first. And I got very lucky. I got very lucky with films like Stand By Me and Lost Boys and Young Guns, quite all within the first couple of years. And then Bobby went and did Saturday Night Live for a while. And then he got a couple big films. And so we would take our friends, like what we thought success was being able to go to Mr. Chow's once a month and take our friends and have kind of what we considered to be a really posh night. And so I will always have those memories of that restaurant going all the way back then. So when I go there now, it just kind of makes me smile.
What did you and Robert used to order?
Oh, Robert.
Like, what was
black bean?
No, I know, but
Robert was awful. No, from there I would order. They had a really wonderful wonton dumpling soup. You'd order the squab with the lettuce and the plum sauce. Chicken Joanna, the most tender chicken dish I've ever had.
What's Chicken Joanna?
It's, you have to go there to experience, but it's a chicken beaten within an inch of its life. And then Singapore noodles or whatever noodle dish you would want. But Bobby, towards the end of us having these once a month dinners, would come in and order the duck, which was the most expensive thing on the menu, and then leave before the bill got.
He used to laugh by then.
Oh yeah, he did it. He did it to mess with me, and it was always
so
very
you
funny.
Were,
and
you were paying.
Yeah, but trust me, he took care of the things. He was a very, very funny boy.
Are you still chums now?
I don't see him as much as I think either one of us would like. I saw him a little while ago, and we kind of hook up for lunch. I think one of the problems is everybody gets so separated because of where you're working, and I've been, again, on tour for so long that. But we do check in on each other. One of my favorite stories of his, we were doing a film in Savannah, Georgia, and he took a fire extinguisher. And I had gone to bed early, and I think he was upset with me for that. So he took this fire extinguisher, and he completely sprayed my hotel room door, and then put it behind him, let it off, and walked backwards all the way to the elevator, and then hurled the fire extinguisher down back towards my door. So it looked like I had done it.
So he basically just and thought you in trouble.
In, yeah, walked into my door.
Prankster.
Well, about a week later, I found a substance that would wear through metal. And I put it on the hinges of his door, and about 3 days later, his front door fell through. So we were in a hotel that was an atrium, so all the doors were purple except for Bobby's, which was just black steel. And so we had a lot of fun back then. We kind of, a lot of practical jokes and teasing. And Kevin Bacon and I were doing a film called Flatliners together. It was the first time that we worked together. And it was a scene with he, myself, and Julia. And there was an aquarium, and in the aquarium were these four goldfish. And Kevin said, "I dare you."
No.
And I said, "What?" He said, "I dare you, before this scene's finished, see if you can swallow one of those goldfish." And I said, "Sure." And so I caught it in the little net when they were kind of moving the cameras around. And it was just to make them laugh. And I took the goldfish like this, and I dropped it in. And what I wasn't expecting, when I swallowed, I realized why we have the mechanism of our Adam's apple. It crushed the goldfish. It
oh my
broke,
God.
It broke its back, and I could feel that.
Oh my God.
In my throat, and I'm like this. And I got it down, but Kevin, I think he had to, it was a dare, so he then had to do something. But if you watch the film, at the beginning of the scene, there are four fish swimming around. And at the end of the scene, there are three fish staring at me no other fish.
So. I'm sorry, Keith. You can't eat a fucking egg, but you can eat a goldfish.
It's not, and the goldfish was a one-off. So, yeah, I'm not going to do
but
it
you'll
again.
Do anything for a dare.
For a laugh, yeah. For a laugh.
It was so brilliant to hear those stories from Kiefer. You know, you never know what you're going to get when you get... I mean, that's a Hollywood star right there. And he really dished the dirt and... If he's dishing that dirt on a brunch with Mum and I in Dalston, you know he's got plenty more up his sleeve. It was a lovely, lovely brunch. I just wished he'd eaten a little bit more of the brisket. Here's a treat. We had the gorgeous duo Mel and Sue on during lockdown, which really lifted our spirits during lockdown. We were feeling low. I think it was like 3 weeks in and they were there. Mel was in a wardrobe and Sue was trying to clear out her whole larder of... She was really doing well on the kind of non-shopping lockdown cooking. And of course, the topic of sourdough bread came up. Of course, everyone was starting their starters and we had to talk about it to the wonderful Mel and Sue.
But I want to know, because Sue, have you got a sourdough starter about your person?
No, but you know what I did have for ages?
What?
Paul gave me.
Oh, yes. I bet he's got a few sourdough starters.
Oh, I imagine he has.
He'd like to show them to you as well, Lenny.
I bet he
I'd
would.
Love to see his sourdough starter.
We've got his number. We can get him round to give you bit of a sourdough starter. Yeah, he gave me a sourdough starter that was the mother. It was 75 years old, the mother. So they'd just been taking bits off, adding to it. He'd got it when he was in Italy and gave me a bit. And I kept it alive for about 6 months and made some incredible bread out of it. And then the problem with sourdough is it's like having a dog. You wouldn't ever leave a dog for two years.
It's like a Tamagotchi.
Yeah, it's a Tamagotchi.
So like I effed off for like, I don't know, I went on a mini break or something. You can't mini break with sourdough starter. Fuck that. You've got to be on
it. You have to take it with you.
It died.
It died. How does it die? Does it just desiccate?
Yeah, what's it look like when it dies?
Yeah.
You put it in, you basically take a bit off as if you're going to make the bread, and the bread is like a brick, so it has no aeration.
Yeah.
And it's basically just gone back, there's no bubbles in it, it's just gone back to being like
sludge.
Flour and water.
Sludge.
Just sludgy.
Does it?
I murdered it. I murdered a 75-year-old Italian starter. And,
what was he called? What was he called?
Giuseppe.
Giuseppe.
Giuseppe. Giuseppe. I killed Giuseppe.
Oh, I've never tried a starter. I'm a bit scared of bread, which is stupid. I'm scared of it.
Me too.
Melly loves pastry. I love bread.
Yeah. There's one recipe that Paul showed us, actually, which was really, really good, which only involves water, dry yeast and flour and a bit of oil. And it's brilliant.
Oh, I could do that.
It's really good, Jessie. It's really... I'll send it to you.
Where did you grow up?
Me? Again, another thing that Perks and I share is that we both grew up in Surrey, in the burbs.
Surrey?
Yeah, I was on the outskirts of Leatherhead in a little, near a village called Fetcham in a 1968 built cul-de-sac for the first 11 years of my life, and very, very happy years they were, actually. I'm slightly obsessed with Leatherhead. It seems to feature a lot. In fact, Sue and I have a band called Leatherhead, and we need to start practicing, mate.
Oh, shush. Should we know about this band? Can we hear you on Spotify?
Not yet.
There was only ever one gig, in fact, two gigs, Jessie. One in St Albans, in a place in St Albans, and the other at my brother's 40th birthday party. We've never played
mate,
since.
Matey.
We've never played. He's 60. He's 60 now.
Mate, half of Leatherhead played at your birthday.
That's very true. Half of Leatherhead played at my 50th birthday. That is very
true.
Do you
wear leather?
No. We need to talk about costumes, actually, Perk. I've got some ideas. We need to get Leatherhead.
Fab.
We need to get Leatherhead off the ground.
The older I get, the more naked I want to be. The more
strong.
That my body resembles a sort of flesh landslide, the more I want to free up and just show it off.
Yeah, man. I might wear a bikini this year. I might just wear a bikini. I haven't worn one since I was about 15. I fancy a bikini.
You think, fuck
yeah,
it.
Showing,
God, that's the last thing I bloody want.
I want to
I'm going to go topless with a pair of leather chaps and I might wear a Swedish, you know, those sort of blonde plaited wigs.
Yes.
Might do that.
Like Mariah Carey.
Yes, exactly. I want to get in the back garden when the weather gets warmer and just get all the scars out, the stretch marks, the rolls, the dimples. I want it all out. I've decided.
Get it out.
I've turned a corner, lads. I've turned a corner.
I say bring back Leatherhead. Everyone, they could do a little acoustic number on the internet. I would pay money for that, especially if they really do wear those costumes. Mel and Sue on Table Manners, an amazing, amazing episode. One advantage to lockdown was that we were able to speak to people on the other side of the world and record over Zoom. God bless Zoom. Here is actress Florence Pugh, who I had a huge crush on, and I definitely made that quite obvious with her. She was very pro with how she kind of dealt with that, with Mum managing yet again to bring it down a notch or two.
But I'm fed up with cooking, to be honest.
Really?
Because like, usually we go out... I would go out two or three nights a week, at least.
She's a social butterfly.
Yeah, but or at least even twice, even once. But I haven't been out for five weeks now, so probably longer, because we didn't go out for probably 2 weeks before that. So I'm getting fed up with... It's not I'm fed up with cooking, but I'm fed up with my own food. I'd like...
Are you living with anyone?
No, I'm on my own.
Oh, no.
I'm going mad.
You know what you should do?
What?
My friend told me that she did this one weekend and it really helped. Pretend there's a bar in your house. Get a bar ready and play some background music and put some background noise on and pretend you're at a bar.
Oh, I'll do that then.
She did it and she said, I had a great time.
You can pretend you're on a date too, Mum.
Yeah.
Pretend that you meet a tall, dark stranger. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a blow up. I've got the blow up Peppa Pig. That's all.
Hey, that's a nice
idea. I'll blow up Peppa Pig and have him sitting opposite. Maybe I'll order a blow up. I bet Amazon do blow up men.
Mum!
Probably.
What's like a sex toys? Yeah,
probably do.
Hey, they'll be an essential item. They are. I was watching John Oliver the other day, and there was someone interviewing an Amazon worker, and this Amazon worker was so upset that dildos were still an essential item.
You're
and
kidding.
He kept on just saying, he was like, dildos are an essential item. Hey, people must be, you know, desperate.
Needing a dildo. But actually, if you're on your own, why would you need a dildo? Oh, no, maybe these people are together. Because you need a dildo. Isn't that a strap-on?
No, that's a strap-on.
Oh, sorry. I'm getting mixed up now.
That's all right.
Why do we always get to you discovering sex things? It's like we had Aisling Bea on. Aisling Bea and Mum had a big discussion about dogging.
Good.
So now, today on Table Manners, Florence Pugh and Mum will be talking about strap-ons.
Or dildos. It's Florence Pugh that brought it up, not me.
Also, I have a very funny story. We just fostered a puppy about 2 weeks ago. And after 1 week of having her, we realised that it was never going to be a foster and we adopted her. So the other evening, she runs off somewhere in the garden and we're calling her back and we have hedges on either side of our neighbours. And she's in amongst these hedges and she's digging for ages and we're calling her. And then she comes back with a massive muddy dildo in her mouth.
Good God.
Wow. And we are so shocked.
Are you sure it was a dildo, Florence?
It was a dildo. It was a full-on dildo.
How do you know exactly?
Because it was a long dildo and it was very funny. And
whose dildo was it, Florence?
Well, it was dug deep into the ground. I don't know who put it there. But the funny thing was is that she was so proud and she was so excited by finding this dildo and we were simultaneously trying to get it off her whilst laughing. She didn't understand. And of course, to a puppy, that's like the best toy ever. It was nice and squishy. Anyway, that was very funny.
Is she allowed to keep the dildo as her little squishy toy?
Well, no, we thought it would look a bit fucked up if people came round and she had a penis in her mouth. So we had to chuck it away. But my mum was very disappointed that we didn't keep it for her. And I said, Mum, if we have guests round and she whips out a penis, people are going to think that it's mine. And that's not a good look.
No, it is not.
No. We are chucking it away.
There wasn't a dead body in the grave as well. Dead person buried with the dildo.
Yeah, killed by dildo.
Death by dildo.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So who knew? Dildos make great dog toys. And last but not least, here is the delectable John Bishop, who joined us for a live show just before Christmas in 2018. He is a charming man. I love him so much. I feel like this is saving the best till last with mum's ultimate crushes. This is the wonderful John Bishop in one of our Table Manners live shows.
I'm sorry, my mum is going to kill
me.
Mum is
born
being
like...
very polite and being charming. But you should have seen the email she sent when we were going through the menu. And she
oh, that's
went,
so mean. Don't be mean.
Firstly, she was like, I've got this great recipe. It's got anchovy and blah. I was like, Mum, he's a vegan. She went, oh, Pussy Bishop.
I wonder if...
No, if you'd have put that on at the vet, that.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I've got no problem with that at all.
What did you think?
If that, that's good hummus. That's good
yeah.
hummus.
Yeah, that's a bean. Cumin.
It's got what?
Cumin.
Yeah, oh, right.
Yeah.
And then we've got... oh, shit. Right, okay. We've got some fucking olives, because you know what? It's fucking hard. Vegan canapes are fucking hard.
They are.
But when no. you like a bit of meat. They are. Yeah. I was going to mum.
But listen, you can get a load of... I'm not one of these people who like people, whenever you mention that you're a vegan or something, people think you're some kind of ramming it down everyone's throat, which isn't the case. Like me kids, we didn't bring the kids up vegetarian because it's a choice. I've just made that choice and I've found... Now that there's more and more and more things that you can have, and there's loads of plant-based products, there's loads of things like corn and stuff like that.
Shut up, Mum. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you love it when I bring oat milk to your house, don't you?
You know, corn and stuff, where you get your protein. So there's loads of things you can have. You don't just eat olives every day. Me and my wife looking at each other going, have an olive.
An olive and a nut.
Yeah, pussy, have an olive.
Old Pussy Bishop.
I love that.
Sorry. So much. Are you a good cook? Is he a good cook? No, no, that's shaking of a head.
No, I'm not. I keep on... It's one of the things that I want to achieve in my life. No, it sounds staffed on it, achieve. You know, like climbing a mountain is achieving something. Learning how to cook is just being practical in it. But what I mean is, I keep on thinking I'm going to go on a cooking course. But I also keep on thinking I'm going to learn Spanish and learn how to play the piano. There's loads of things that I think I'm going to do, and I'm literally running out of time.
But is it because your wife's a good cook that you kind of... Is your mum a good cook?
Yeah, your mum's all right.
You're like...
Crikey, these poor children.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Dad and the mum can't cook.
I know, but we can buy food.
Oh, you buy food.
I want to know what they were eating.
I think what it is, we're not really... foodies, you know, you get some people who are passionate about food, and I like food, but it's never, I see it as fuel, I just see it as something you've got to have to keep going. But I'm changing, I'm changing. This has been a journey, so now I'm mad keen.
Right.
This is why I wanted to come on. This is why I like things. I've reached a point in my life where I like Country File and cooking shows. That's what's happened to me.
Middle age. Yeah.
It is middle age. I mean, I'm normally doing crack cocaine while I'm watching them. Country File's great on crack.
You're laughing too much. Does that happen?
No, of course it hasn't happened.
John and I have been in touch since. He hasn't spoken to my mum since she called him Pussy Bishop, but we're still on really good terms. Thank you so much, John Bishop. And that was a really amazing audience too. It was really, really good fun. We will be back next week with a brand new season. It's season 10. It's got some massive names on it. We're not letting you down. We're never going away, you poor things. Thank you so much for listening. And I hope you've enjoyed these best of extra helpings, little snippets for you. It's been so funny listening to them. Apologies if anybody saw me on Half Moon Lane with the windows down. It was a hot day and I was just checking the edit and laughing, cackling, shall I say, at my own voice, which is really quite embarrassing now that I think about it. But no, we love doing this and we can't wait to hear have more new guests for you so we can have another little extra helpings for you in a year or two. All right, lots of love, take care, and we will see you next week. Thank you for listening. The music you've heard on Table Manners is by Peter Duffy and Pete Fraser. Table Manners is produced by Alice Williams.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.